So we're going to take a little breather just this year from Jewish history. And I saw an interesting idea in this coming week's Parsha. So I thought I would speak about it, give shiur on this topic. So this year's title is Parshas Vayechi, Yosef's relationship with his brothers after Yaakov's death. So there's nothing hidden in the title. The title is pretty obvious. But the purpose of this year tonight is that we're going to go through the psukim dealing with, after Yaakov's death, dealing with the relationship and how that evolved. So if we look in source number one, we'll start from Parshas Vayechi at the very end. And it says as follows, Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayma, hu ve'achav v'chol ha'olim ito likboris aviv, acharei kovros aviv. So after Yaakov died and he was buried, Yosef comes back from Egypt, or to Egypt, and after burying likboris aviv, after burying his father, and he's going back to Mitzrayim. Vayiruachei Yosef ki meis avihem, vayomru lu yistameinu Yosef. So the brothers of Yosef, they see that their father died, and they say, maybe Yosef still has a grudge against us, and he's gonna repay us for the bad that we've done to him by sending him into slavery. So what they do is they tell Yosef, that your father commanded you before he died. Kosomru li Yosef. So that he said to us to say to Yosef, Ana sana fesha achecha v'chatasam ki ra'og malucha, v'ata sana lefesha abdei elokei avicha, v'yef Yosef edabram elov. So the brothers who made up this lie over here, they said to Yosef that he should forgive the brothers for everything they've done. That's what the brothers said to Yosef, Yaakov had commanded. And all the brothers go before Yosef and they hit the ground and they say, we're going to be your servants, your slaves. So Yosef was crying when he was told this. That's in Pasuk Yud Zayin. I failed to mention that. And he says now, when they all bow down to him and they say, we'll be your slaves, he says, don't be afraid. Am I instead of Hashem? You think that I'm bad, but Hashem has done all this good in order to create this situation where you guys can grow and I could help you survive. And he says to them, don't be afraid of me. I'm going to protect you and sustain you and your children. And he comforts them and he speaks to them in a comforting way. So the Torah depicts an interesting back and forth between Yosef and his brothers. And to summarize, on the way back from Yaakov's Misa and his burial, Yosef, the brothers think that Yosef has changed. And they're scared that Yosef is holding a grudge against them. And he's going to pay them back for the evil that they did to him by selling him into slavery. So they concoct this plan where they make up the fact that Yaakov commanded Yosef saying to forgive them. And Yosef is astonished and he's crying during that experience. And then all the brothers join in and they bow down and they say, take us as your servants, your slaves. And Yosef finally says, don't be afraid. I'm going to take care of you. I'm not like God. Am I really in place of God? I'm going to take care of you and make sure that everything is taken care of. And he has to comfort them. So the question, there's many questions on this exchange, but really the main point of this year is to try to understand the back and forth here between the brothers and Yosef. So what did the brothers see and what did Yosef explain to them? What was he teaching them exactly? And can we understand that deeper? And Yosef was crying during this experience. So why was he crying? And what exactly, is there a deeper meaning to this back and forth and to the nature of the relationship between the brothers and Yosef after Yaakov's death? So the first question, before we get into some of the ideas, the analysis, is why exactly did the brothers think that Yosef was going to repay them for the evil that they had done to him when he was younger? So there's two explanations given in the Medrash. Look in source number two. I've decided to use a share screen tonight, so hopefully it's easier to follow along. It says, Vayiru achei Yosef ki meis avihem ma ra'u. So what did the brothers see after the death of Yaakov that convinced them that Yosef was going to take revenge against them? Ella ba'aliyasam el Eretz Yisrael, nata Yosef min haderech, v'halach v'tzipa b'bor shishlichu echav, amru adayin asina b'libo. So on the way back from burying Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael, Yosef decides to take a detour, and he's reminiscing, and he goes back to the bor, the very hole or pit that he was thrown into when he was younger, and the brothers perceive this as being an indication that he was still angry about the situation. And that's one possibility. The other is v'hashiv yashiv lanu echad shishlachnu oso b'bor v'hashini shemacharnu oso. So they say v'hashiv yashiv lanu. The brothers recognize that they're going to be repaid and punished for two things. One is because they threw him into the bor, and the other is because they sold him into slavery. So one approach is that when Yosef took this side road to check out the old pit with the snakes and scorpions, like the Medrash says, and reminisce and think about what happened. So the brothers perceive this as that he really held a grudge against them and he was going to repay them. So that's possibility number one. And the second one is Eis Kol Rosh, Amar Netarov Taraf Yosef, Davar Acher, Ma Ra'u. So another possibility is, what do they see? Lefi Shekol Chaye Aviyam Hayu Ochlem Al Shulchano, Mishameis Lo Achlu Al Shulchano. So the other thing that they recognize is, it could be that it's not a machlokes, but it could be both are true. And I'll try to explain it in that context. But the other possibility, or the other explanation, is that they noticed that Yosef would always invite the brothers over for dinner. And he would always have them over, and they would hang out together. And then after Yaakov died, Yosef, he decided not to anymore. And they saw this as being, or sensing that this was going to be the beginning of repaying them for the evil, and this was their sign. So the question is, why did Yosef stop? One, question number one. And the second question is, why did he stop at his bor, at the pit, to remember, to think back as to what happened to him? And why, after this experience of his father being buried, is there a specific correlation or relationship between, was it just practical because he happened to have been coming back? Or is there an idea that after the death of his father, he decided that it would be important to stop at the bor? And the second question is, why did he stop having his brothers over? I mean, did he really, you know, it sounds like he only had them over, Rashi says, we'll see, because out of kavod for his father. But still, like, why didn't he have them over? Was it just that he couldn't relate to them? He couldn't be friendly with them? So maybe it's true. He really did hold a grudge against them. So they were right. So why exactly what exactly is going on here in terms of Yosef's relationship to his brothers and their reaction? So those are some of the questions. And so one of the approaches, just for a shot, one of the approaches as to why Yosef took a detour here is the Chizkuni, and it's based on the Gemara and the Rambam. And the Rambam says, Haro makom shenasu nisim leYisrael kigon yamsuf umavaros hayardin. Omer, baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam she'asa nisim avosinu b'makom hazeh. So when you go visit a place where miracles occur to Klal Yisrael, you make a special bracha. If a personal miracle occurred and you remember and you go back to the place where it occurred, you're supposed to make a bracha, you, your son, and your grandson, and you make this special bracha. So the Chizkuni says that Yosef was basically going back to the bor in order to give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving him from the bor and for creating this situation. But is there, so fine, so, but why did he choose this time? What's with the timing? Is it just, again, practical, or is there more of an analysis or a deeper idea that is trying to be expressed in his decision to visit this pit that he had been stuck in before he was taken out and sold? Is there a deeper concept there? So that's one idea. And we're just going to build up the questions, and then trust me, we'll get, a good idea, a good svar out of this. But the basic points so far are, what changed in the relationship between Yosef and his brothers? Why did he stop having them over for meals? And why, at this point, did he decide to stop at the bor? He could have gone directly home to Mitzrayim and gone back to his position as Melech. But instead, he decides to thank Hashem for the experience of the bor at this moment. So why did he do that? Aside from the fact that he was perfected, is there another concept that we could glean from this? And I, like I said before, I don't think the the Medrash is a machlokas. I think both are true. So there seems to be a relationship, I think, between the two of them. So what is that relationship between Moshe stop? Sorry, I keep saying Moshe. Yosef stopping. I'm already moving to Shmos. Between Yosef stopping and the idea of him not inviting the brothers over. Is there a relationship between the two? So Rashi, quite astutely, quotes the Medrash in source number 4, and he gives one of the explanations. He says, Vayiru achei Yosef kimes avihem. Mahu vayiru, what exactly did they see? Hikiru b'misaso etzel Yosef. Shai regilim lisod imo at shulchano. Shal Yosef vahem mekarvan b'shil kvod aviv. Mishmes Yaakov lo karvan. So again, Rashi's quoting one of the possibilities. And he says, what did the brothers see that scared them away? They saw that they used to hang out with Yosef. They would go there for a nice meal for dinner every single night. And apparently Yosef was just doing this because of his father, to show respect to Yaakov. But once Yaakov died, he didn't do it anymore. So the question again is, why did he stop having them over? Was he really upset at them for what they had done to him? Because maybe the brothers were right. Maybe Yosef did hold a grudge, and that's why he stopped having them over. So is there another possibility as to why he would stop having them over? So the Sifsei Chachamim here, based on the Medrash, is a really interesting, fascinating Sifsei Chachamim. And it really opens up what Rashi is talking about and what the meaning is behind this situation. So the Sifsei Chachamim on Rashi, usually the Sifsei Chachamim is just a nice little parish on how to understand Rashi in the Pshat. But here he gives a really nice explanation. So he says as follows, look in source number 5. Bebracious Rabbah, Amar of Tanchuma, Hulo Niskavin Ela L'Shem Shemayim. So Rav Tanchuma said in the Bracious Rabbah, which is Medrash, that Yosef's intention as to not inviting his brothers over was really for the good, for L'Shem Shemayim, for Hashem. Why? Amar L'Sha'avar Abba Moshev Li L'Mala Mi'Yehuda, Shehu Melech U'L'Mala Meruvin, Shehu Bechor. So in the past, my father Yaakov, When everyone came over for the meal, he would put me in front of or at the head of the table above Reuven, who is the Bechor, and above Yehuda, who is the Melech. Achshav eno bedin she'eshev l'mala mihem ad kan. So he said, Yosef said, it's not really appropriate for me to sit in front of my brothers or at the head of the table, the Bechor, Reuven, or Yehuda. Ulamata gamkein lo yarotz elishev b'nei kavod amalchus, but he also couldn't sit beneath them because he was the Melech Mitzrayim, and it would be beneath him to have his brothers sit above him. So the Sifsei Chachamim, he's really fascinating. It's not really him, it's really the Medrash, but he definitely brings in this Medrash, and it's really insightful. So he says that it wasn't that Yosef held a grudge against his brothers. It wasn't that he couldn't do small talk with them anymore or play around with them or hang out with them. No. It was this practical issue that he had, which was that he didn't want to put himself at the head of the table because that would undermine Reuven and Yehuda. But on the other hand, he couldn't sit down beneath them because of Kavod HaMalchus. He's the Melech of Mitzrayim. He can't have other people, even his brothers, sitting above him. So the question is, okay, fine. So it seems like, according to the Sifsei Chachamim, that the only issue between Yosef and his brothers was his inability to set the table correctly and his inability to sit next to them or sit above them or beneath them. But still, he could have had a relationship with them aside from hanging out at dinner time. I mean, most of us have relationships with our family, and it's not only based on having dinner with them. I mean, it's a good thing to have dinner with your family. But relationships are built outside of dinner as well. I know they didn't have phones back then, but so he wouldn't have them over every night. But he could still tell them this. He could still talk to them. He could still have a relationship with them. So what exactly does the Medrash mean that this was really his conundrum, that he couldn't figure out how to set the table so that it wouldn't either undermine Yehuda Reuven or undermine him? So it's a strange, it's a beautiful, beautiful Sifsei Chacham, I think. And I think it's going to be the key to the analysis here. But on the other hand, like I said, I mean, relationships aren't only built around the meal. It's like a very Jewish idea or Italian that relationships are built around the table. Yes, it's true, but you can still have relationships outside of dinner time. And just because this happened, I mean, he could have explained this to the brothers and he could have still had a close relationship with them. So what exactly is going on here? What was Yosef doing here? What was his consideration? Being that we assume that Yosef was a thoughtful individual and he wasn't he didn't have a grudge against them, and he wasn't trying to avenge the fact that he was sold into slavery. So what was his thought process? And then we come to an interesting, before we get to the idea, the first idea in the shir, we come to another interesting point, which is Vayitzavu al Yosef. So Rashi says that the brothers told Yosef that their father Yaakov, that his father Yaakov, had commanded him to forgive them. So it says, Kimo Vayitzavim el Bnei Yisrael, just like it says, and you should command Bnei Yisrael, Tziva Lamosh Laron Yoshluchim el Bnei Yisrael. So Hashem had commanded Moshe and Aaron to be the messengers. Avzev Vayitzavu Eshluchim Yoshliach el Yosef Lomar Lokein. So same situation, that Yaakov had appointed Shlichim, he had appointed those who could messengers, and who were they? Ves mitzivu, es bnei bilha, shayu regilin etzlosh, nemar, v'hu nars bnei bilha. So who do they send? They send the bnei bilha, the children of bilha. And the reason why is because Yaakov grew up with them, and he was very close with the bnei bilha. So the brothers felt like the best individuals, the best two brothers to try to beseech Yosef were bnei bilha. So what was their relationship? What was the relationship between Bnei Bilha and Yosef? So if you look in source number 7, we go back to the very beginning of the story in Vayeshev, at the very early onset of Yosef, and I think this is important as well. It says as follows. Look in source number 7. Eilat toldos Yaakov, Yosef ben Shavas Reshana, Yaroes Echal Batzon, Vunar, Es Bnei Bilha, Ves Bnei Zolpan, Eshe Aviv, Vayaveh Yosef, Es Dibasam Ra'a El Avihem. So the very beginning of Vayeshev says that Yosef was 17 years old, and he was a young lad, and he was also a shepherd, and he was also he would hang out with Bnei Bilha, Bnei Zilpa, the children of his father's wives. Vayevi Yosef Estiba Samra El Aviem, and Yosef would bring bad stuff, bad information about the brothers, Aver Menachai, and there's different explanations to his father. So what does it mean Vehu Naaris Bnei Bilha? So in source number 8, it says, Na'aroso v'regilaso mishtayu hayu in b'nei bilo v'nei zilpa. U'mitoch kach ischilu echa b'nei leil lisnoso. So Yosef would hang out with b'nei bilo and b'nei zilpa, I think because they were more similar in age. And he would hang out with them, and that's where he would act in his normal, immature fashion. And his older brothers from Leah, they started hating him. So he had a close relationship with b'nei bilo. And they were chosen as the ones to try to ask Yosef to forgive them. So that's interesting. What was the idea? What was the analysis, the plan, the strategy of the brothers in terms of, you know, trying to get Yosef to forgive them? And then finally, the last point is what's going on over here in source number 9. Sana lefesha avdei elokei avicha, im avicha meis elokav kayim behem avadav. So they say that you should forgive the servants of your father's God. Imavicha meis elokav kayam. Even if you don't listen to your father and your father's commandment, you should listen to God because he still exists. Vehem avadav, and we're his avadim. And then it says vayelchu gam echav mosif al shlichos. And then the brothers came after Bnei Bilha, and they start throwing themselves at the ground and asking Yosef to forgive them and to not take revenge against them. So what exactly, so we'll stop here, source number 10. So we just did 10 sources, and just to summarize up to this point. So we see from Rashi and the Psukim themselves and the Rambam and the Midrashim, we see a little bit of a story happening here. So we'll just go back and summarize the story and then try to understand it. So the story is that Yosef, after the death of his father, on his way back to Mitzrayim, he decides to stop off on a detour towards the pit that he was stuck in and that he was saved from, in order to give Shevach Lashem. And also, in addition to that, he stops inviting his brothers over for meals. So the question is, why? So why does he stop doing that? And what's the significance of him stopping by the boar in order to give thanks to Hashem at this moment? And then we move on, and Rashi gives the same shot. And the Sifsei Chacham says the reason why he stopped doing that was because he didn't want to sit above Reuven and Yehuda, and he didn't want them to sit above him. So therefore, he stopped inviting them over. So, but why couldn't he just explain that to them? Or why couldn't he have a relationship with them outside of that, that they were so scared and nervous? He could have just said to them, listen, I can't have you over anymore, but, you know, we're still friends. We're still brothers. So maybe they were right. Maybe he really was. The Medrash says he was L'shem Shemayim. So what's the L'shem Shemayim here? What was it just was it really L'shem Shemayim, or was there really a grudge going on? And then the brothers, what's the reaction? They send Bnei Bilhah, and they're begging him, and Yosef is crying at that moment. So what exactly, can we explain what's going on here? What exactly is the idea, the concept that this back and forth and the Torah and this in this week's Parsha are trying to present to us about the relationship and the nature of the relationship between Yosef and his brothers? So those are all, that's the summary, and those are the main questions. So I wanted to give an idea here, and hopefully it'll open up the area. Any other questions before I start, or any other stars or ideas? Because I can hear you today.
Rabbi Ginsburg.
Yes, go ahead.
According to your understanding,
yeah,
did the other brothers know that Yosef went to give Shevach Lahadiah?
Yeah. The Medrash says that's why they were scared, because he... I mean, you're asking about the specifics. Did they know why he went?
Yes.
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I mean, let's say they didn't. They didn't. So I'm assuming they didn't. But still, you're right. It's a good question. So let's say they didn't know. I'm assuming that they didn't know. But still, we still have to understand what was Yosef thinking. Like, not that it's... obviously, it's a good thing to give Shevach. And when you have an opportunity to, you have to. But he could have visited the boar at other moments. I mean, he was the Melech Mitzrayim. He could leave Mitzrayim and go visit the boar. Why did he choose on this, like, from leaving his father's burial to take this detour at this moment? So you could just answer. You could say simply that he just wanted to give Shevach and he had the opportunity. But I think, or I believe, that there's a deeper idea. And hopefully I'll share that with you and you'll agree with me. But if not, it's fine.
But,
yeah, go ahead.
But at this point, you hold that they didn't know why he went.
Yes, I'm holding they didn't know why he went. Yeah.
Okay. And
sure.
Did all of the brothers, Bnei Bilhah, Bnei Zilpah, did they know that the father did not say?
Yes, yeah, they knew. They knew. This was all together. They plotted this together. Yeah. They all made this up together.
Same way?
Yes.
Same way they all had. They all knew that Yosef was still alive and they...
Yes, yeah.
Same way?
Yes, the same way, yeah.
Same way. Okay.
All right.
My question is... So when he did, when Yaakov was alive and he did have them over when the team and not sitting above them,
yeah.
Was that because of Kibudav that he could override other considerations?
Yes, apparently yes. But that's a good question. Hopefully I'll try to explain that. Yeah, I'll try to explain that. But great question, yeah. Okay, so what is the main idea here? What exactly is the Torah trying to convey through this story? So I think that, again, the Sifsei Chachamim quoting the Medrash is really the key, which is the idea that he didn't want to sit above them, nor did he want to sit below them. So the question was, so what exactly was Yosef thinking? What exactly was his mindset? So what I want to propose is that after Yaakov's death, Yosef realized at that moment, not that he didn't realize it before, but he started grasping the concept of the Shiftei Kah being the leaders and really being Klal Yisrael after Yaakov's death. They were no longer just Yaakov's children, but now they embodied Klal Yisrael as a unit. And it's true, as they were when Yaakov was living, they were all Shiftei Kah as well, and they were still leaders and leaders of the nation. But once Yaakov died, now the responsibility as to the leadership and the entity of the nation surviving was on this unit of Shevatim. And the idea is, I believe that really Yosef kind of grasped that idea, the concept that once Yaakov was gone, once he had died, now it was on him and his brothers to really be the leaders and to continue the survival of Klal Yisrael. But he realized that Klal Yisrael now existed. It's like the Shiftei Kah is the smallest unit of Klal Yisrael. And perhaps the idea of him visiting the boar is that he had a deeper appreciation for the miracle at this moment, because it wasn't just a personal salvation for him anymore, because we said that you make a specific bracha when it's a nes that occurs to you. But when it's a nes to others or to Klal Yisrael, you make a different bracha. So my proposition is, although we don't know which bracha he made in particular, my proposition is that if he had gone before when Yaakov was still alive, he would have perceived the boar as a personal miracle. But now that Yaakov had died, now Yosef, it was clear to Yosef, the role of the Shiftei Kah had shifted, and they were no longer just brothers and children of Yaakov, but now they were the unit, the smallest unit of Klal Yisrael. And his relationship to the boar and his appreciation for the nace of the boar now changed, because he can view it not just from a hashgacha pratis, a personal hashgacha, but now he can see how it fit in terms of hashgacha to Klal Yisrael, because now the unit of Klal Yisrael was complete, and Yaakov had died. So again, Yaakov's death indicated the transition from just being children and being brothers to now the unit of Klal Yisrael, to now being a nation. So the idea of Yosef stopping off at this moment, I believe, is because after the death of Yaakov, he had a deeper appreciation of the miracle, and he was trying to express Oda in a different framework, in the framework of not the personal nace, but in the framework of a nace to Klal Yisrael. So that's why he chose this moment, and that's why the Medrash is saying that after the death of Yaakov, he did this, because they were related to one another. But also, I believe, that that's why he stopped having a certain type of relationship with his brothers. And the Sifsei Chachamim was saying that it was L'shem Shemayim, and one of the questions I raised was, he could have had a relationship with them outside of the mealtime. But I think that the Sifsei Chachamim is hinting to a deeper idea, which is that Yosef realized that his position as Melech would be an impediment to the development of the Klal Yisrael, and how Klal Yisrael was supposed to have their defined roles. Yehuda was supposed to be the Melech, Reuven was supposed to be the Bechor. So now that Klal Yisrael had emerged and they were no longer children of Yaakov, they no longer existed in this purely, or at least personal, on this personal level. So Yosef now viewed them as a Shiftei Ka on a national scale, and he viewed their relationship in a different way as he had done before. And he realized that in order for them to function as Klal Yisrael, as the Shiftei Ka, as the units of the beginning of Klal Yisrael, that he couldn't have them over. He couldn't have that relationship with them anymore. And the reason is because his position as Melech would be an imposition, an impediment to the proper development of the Shiftei Ka. So that's what it means that it was L'shem Shemayim. And I don't think that it was just that he stopped inviting them over. I think that his relationship changed with them, because he understood mentally that they wouldn't be able to develop again in the proper way had he had this personal relationship with them, because they would always be dependent on him and they would always relate to him as the Melech, and that would be destructive to the idea of Yehuda being Melech, of Reuven being the Bechor, of the whole structure of Klal Yisrael. So I really think that Yosef had developed he was developing an idea about the Shiftei Ka, and that emerged after the death of Yaakov, and he recognized that their relationship had to evolve from a personal one to now a professional one, to one of Klal Yisrael. And as such, he also, not only did he realize that, but he also recognized that his relationship with them would be an impediment to their growth and to the growth of Klal Yisrael. So Yosef had made this transition in his mind to the idea that Klal Yisrael now exists, and now they have to take on a new role, and they have to recognize their responsibility as being the founders, the foundation of Klal Yisrael at this moment. But the brothers, they seem to be unable to see that, and I think that that's what the Torah is teaching us. The Torah is teaching us that the brothers were still stuck in this personal back and forth, and this personal relationship, and that's why they send Bnei Bilha, and because they think that Yosef is still relating to them on this personal level. And they don't recognize the idea and their responsibility as now functioning as Klal Yisrael. And that's why Yosef was crying, because it's an embarrassment for Klal Yisrael, for the Shiftei Ka to be bowing down to him and to not have the idea of Hasachas Elokim Hi, that Hashem is really the ultimate provider. How could you be the foundation, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, and beseech me and throw yourselves down on the floor in front of me? He was crying because he recognized that he saw the idea of Klal Yisrael existing within him and his brothers, and they didn't see that, and they just viewed this as a personal vendetta, and they were still stuck in the personal relationship that they had with Yosef when he was younger. And that's why they're trying to beseech for his forgiveness, and they're using Bnei Bilha because they knew that they would have a certain personal relationship. And the same thing, the visit to the boar, to the brothers, they didn't know what Yosef was doing, but they automatically assumed that it was personal, that Yosef had remembered on a personal level what had been done to him, and then he was going to take vengeance on them. So there is a massive, I would say, a mismatch between the mentality of Yosef and the mentality of the brothers. the mentality of Yosef was, after Yaakov's death, that we're the beginning of Klal Yisrael, and I can't be involved with my brothers, not because I don't like them or not because I don't want to have a relationship with them, but because if I do, if I have this personal relationship, it will impede their ability to act and to function and to become the leaders that they're supposed to and meant to be. And if I continue to have that relationship, they're always going to be subordinate to me. And nevertheless, the brothers seem, it seems to be a flaw of theirs. The brothers seem to not have that perspective. They can't really see themselves, and they are still stuck in the past. They're still stuck in this personal vendetta and this personal aspect. And again, that's what also it explains what it means for Kavod Aviv. It means that when their father was alive, they can still be considered the children of Yaakov. They can still have this personal element, this family idea. But once Yaakov was dead, it's not a family anymore. It's a nation. It's Klal Yisrael. Yosef realized that. The brothers did not realize that. And in fact, we see at the end that Yosef has to comfort them, and he has to show them that he's going to take care of them. So it seems like Yosef realized that they wouldn't understand this concept necessarily unless he calmed them down, unless he spoke to them. He spoke al libam. So he realized that until they felt a certain security from him, they would never be able to achieve this idea of Klal Yisrael, this concept of Klal Yisrael. So Yosef recognized it. The brothers did not recognize it. And Yosef had to talk to them. Vayidaber al libam. He had to calm them down. That was the only way that Yosef understood they would be able to accept and be able to develop and be able to accept the fact that they would be the leaders of Klal Yisrael. So even after this experience, I doubt Yosef had his brothers over, because maintaining distance was critical. But he needed to calm them down. He needed to make sure and ensure that they wouldn't be stuck in this personal vendetta issue, and they wouldn't be stuck in the personal issues that they were having, and they would move on beyond that. So that's why I think Yosef was crying. He was crying because they weren't acting in line with his concept, his conceptualization of Klal Yisrael. And that was really sad. It was depressing for Yosef that these are the leaders of Klal Yisrael, and they're so dependent on him, and they can't even realize the reality, the existence of the power of God at this moment. And on the other hand, Yosef, he realizes it, but he also recognized that he had to calm them down on a personal level, and he had to support them personally in order for them to achieve the level that they were going to achieve. But again, I don't think that the brothers and Yosef maintained a close relationship after this point. Just because what I said, that it would be impossible psychologically for the brothers to develop properly with the relationship they had with Yosef. Does that make sense, or any questions? Yes.
Well, what is it specifically about Yaakov dying that causes transition?
Yeah, because when Yaakov was alive, they could still be a family. They can have this family unit. You know, when your father, when your parents are alive and your siblings, it's just like you're back at your family's table and you're having Shabbos meal. But once he died, they were no longer just a family. Now they were a nation again. So I think that there was a massive transition in their relationship to each other and their perspective of how they related to each other. It occurred after Yaakov's death. And now it was more incumbent because Yaakov was this leader, was the leader of Klal Yisrael. Once he was gone, the leadership fell on the Shiftei Ka, and they had to assume that leadership position. And Yosef realized that immediately, and that's why again he goes to the Bor, because he realizes now that the Nisa of the Bor, he appreciates it on a different level, and he also realizes that he can't relate to his brothers in the same way, because if he does, they're never going to develop into the leadership, the leaders that they're supposed to be. The brothers again, they can't. It seems like they had an inability to act like Yosef and to be on that level and to realize that and to recognize that. So that's why we see that Yosef goes back to them and he tries to calm them down and he ensures them that he'll provide them with the security that they need. But it was really a chisaron on the part of the brothers, but ultimately it was necessary for Yosef to kind of make them feel comfortable and make them feel like it was time to move on in order for them to achieve this level of being the primary units and the basic units of Klal Yisrael. And if you look in source number 12, so it says Vayidaber Alibam, and this is what I was talking about before. At the very end, it says that Vayinachem, and it says that he comforted them, Yosef, and he spoke on their hearts, to their hearts. So it says Devarim Amiskablim Alalev, Ad Shelo Yiratam Lakan Hayu Maranim Alayshani Eved, Va'idechem dodash ani ben chorin. Ve'im ani horeg eschem, ma brios omros, kashel bachurim ra'av nishtabeach behen, ve'amar achihem ve'levesov haragosam, yesh lecha ach shehoreg es echav. So one answer he says is to the brothers, he says, calm down, I'm not going to kill you, because if I kill you, what will the people say about me? I mean, they'll say that I'm a brother killer. That's not going to really look good for me. So why would I kill you? And then the second answer, he says, Davar acher, asara neros lo yachlu l'chabos nerecha. And then the second idea is that 10 neros cannot extinguish one ner. So the idea is that, so there's two points here in this Rashi. One point, I think, is that he was melech. So he's trying to show them that the first answer is saying, because I'm melech, I have to take into consideration my position as melech. And that's the whole svara as to why he couldn't have that relationship with them, because he was melech. And he's showing them through this example of Vayidaber Alibam that his position as melech is what hinders him from having this relationship to them. And then he goes on, Vayidaber Alibam. So he's saying to them, it's not you. It's not because I don't love you and you're not my brothers, but it's because I'm melech. And because of my position as melech, I can't have this relationship anymore. And that's why I would never kill you. But through telling them I wouldn't kill you because I'm melech, he's indicating to them why their relationship has changed. And the second is, Asar Neros Lo Yachlu L'Chabos Ner Echad, is saying that they're a unit. The whole idea is that they're all one unit of Neros, and they're really one entity of Klal Yisrael, and therefore they shouldn't. There's a special hashgacha for the unit of Klal Yisrael, and they have to realize that. They have to recognize that they're no longer just children anymore, and they're no longer stuck in this childish type of behavior. But now they're above this, and they're in the framework of Klal Yisrael, and they have to realize that there's a special hashgacha to them as being Klal Yisrael.
Can we get
yes, go ahead.
What changed between when Yosef first revealed himself and seemed to have understood then that they were all vehicles of Hashkacha and that they were the Shiftei Ka and that this was bigger than any sort of petty disputes and that he didn't take it personally anymore? What was missing, I guess, at that stage that changed or shifted?
Right, so I think that there was a reliance on Yaakov kind of bringing everyone together. So Yaakov was still viewed as the leader, and the Shvatim still, as long as Yaakov was alive, they didn't have to assume the leadership mantle that they needed to once Yaakov was dead. So I think that even though Yosef had obviously forgiven them, and he was able to maintain a relationship, a close relationship with them, it's only because Yaakov was still present. And when Yaakov was there, Yaakov was the leader, and the Shvatim didn't have to assume their leadership position until Yaakov died. And the second idea is that Yaakov could keep everyone in place, that Yaakov was clearly the head of the family, and he could keep everyone in their roles, and Yehuda can still be assumed to be Melech and Yosef. But once Yaakov died, so now it was all up to them. So now the relationship changed as a result. So Yosef had forgiven them, of course, even at the very beginning. And again, that's what I'm trying to express, that Yosef's change in relationship had nothing to do with the actual vengeance or that he was angry at them. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with the idea that once Yaakov had died, so their relationship had to change. Because when Yaakov was alive, he could be personal with them. But as long as Yaakov was alive, Yaakov was the leader. Everyone viewed Yaakov as the leader. The perception was that Yaakov led Klal Yisrael. Once Yaakov's dead, it's on them. It's on the brothers. Now they have to assume a different role. They can't just be children anymore. And the second idea is that as long as Yaakov was alive, the kavod for their father had kept everyone in place, and everyone and the roles of Klal Yisrael of the Shiftei Ka would be maintained through Yaakov. But now Yaakov's dead, now they needed to band together, not as a familial unit, on a personal level, but they had to band together on a national scale. So that's what I'm trying to, that's the answer I'm trying to give. And again, just one last point. So he says, Hatachas Elokim Ani. So one of the arguments he says to them is, am I in place of God? And he says that to them when they say to him, they're afraid that he's going to kill them, and they throw themselves down at the floor. And there's a similar experience by his father, by Yaakov. There's only two places where they say, Hasachas Elokim Ani or Anochi. Hasachas Elokim Anochi. And one is the Medrash brings it down. One is by Yosef over here, and the other one was by Yaakov to Rachel, that Yaakov was angry when Rachel complains to Yaakov about not having children. Yaakov says, am I in place of God? And the Radak over there, he says that basically Rachel shouldn't have assumed that Yaakov was in charge here. She should have, if she would have asked, the Radak says, if she would have asked Yaakov to daven to Hashem, he would have. But she was almost making it seem like Yaakov was in charge of this situation, and he was angry about that. And he says to her, Hasachas Elokim Anochi, am I really in place of God? So what's the relationship in these two situations? So I think the relationship is that Yaakov's anger and Yosef's anger was that basically somebody on the level of Rachel should always be cognizant of the reality of God being the provider. It should never cross their mind to be a vadim, to be an evet to an individual, to a person, and think that that's the appropriate approach. And that's why Yaakov got so angry at Rachel, not because she was asking and she was desperate, but the concept that a person on the level of Rachel, a person with that level of perfection, must always be cognizant of who the real provider of security is, who the real provider of support is. And that's what Yosef was so appalled by when they threw themselves down. And that's why he was crying. Because he says, Kiasachas Elokim Ani, how is it that possible that the Shiftei Ka, the foundation of Klal Yisrael, is unable to always be cognizant of the fact that there's a hashgacha to them, and the hashgacha comes from God. It doesn't come from me. It has nothing to do with me. I'm their brother. There's a special hashgacha, just like Rachel had a special hashgacha because she was one of the imahos. So too, how could the Shiftei Ka not realize that there was a special hashgacha that related to them, and how could they forget that even momentarily? That's really a chisaron in the Shiftei Ka. So I think that's the idea that Yosef was trying to express to them. So just to go back and summarize, so basically the Shira was on this change, the shift in relationship between Yosef and his brothers, and what changed the relationship. So I'll just go through some of the points, some of the basic points in the Shira. One is that the reason why the brothers felt or were nervous that Yosef was going to take vengeance was because of two ideas. One is because he stopped by the board to give Shevach, and the other was because he failed to invite them over. And the Sifsei Chacham says, why did he fail to invite them over? Because he didn't know where to seat them. Would he seat his brothers above him or below him? And there were problems each way. But the question was, he still should have had a relationship with them. He still should have communicated with them outside of the having them over for meals. And then why do they send Bnei Bilha there? And what does that express about the brothers' attitude? So the answer that I was trying to give in the shir is that there was a fundamental mismatch between Yosef's perception after the death of Yaakov and the brothers. Yosef understood that after Yaakov's death, he had to view the Shvatim, and the Shvatim should view themselves in a different capacity than when Yaakov was alive. When Yaakov was alive, they could still view themselves as children of Yaakov in a more personal level. But once Yaakov had died, now they had to view themselves and assume the position of leadership without Yaakov. Without Yaakov, that was a different level of leadership, a different responsibility. And as such, there was a different Hashgacha that related to them. And Yosef realized that, and he's appreciative of the Bor miracle on a deeper level. Now it's not a personal miracle anymore. It's a miracle for the Shiftei Ka, the survival of Klal Yisrael. And again, he didn't invite them over, so the question is why? So it is indicative of a change in the personal relationship. And the idea was that Yosef realized his position as Melech prohibited him from relating to them in a supportive way. Because had he... Either he would put them above him, and then that would be a problem. That would be a problem in terms of him and his relationship with them, because he's the Melech, and there should be a kavod to him. Or, you know, he would be above them, and that would impede the development of Klal Yisrael. So he had to balance the two, and the best option was to not have a relationship so that he wouldn't impede their growth and their assumption of this role as the leaders of Klal Yisrael. But then we see that the brothers... they were on a totally different level. They were relating to Yosef on a personal level. They sent Bnei Bilha. They're hearkening back to the situation of the Bor, not on a hashgacha, a klalist level, but on a personal vendetta idea. So they were stuck back in the past. And Yosef is trying to show them, you need to change your attitude. And he's crying, and he's so upset, and he says, Hatachas Elokim Anochi. And the reason is because this is a real failure that he saw in his brothers, and he was trying to show them that they can't act like this. They can't assume, they have to recognize that there's a new hashgacha related that is attached to them, and that they're leaders, and they can't throw themselves down in front of a human being and say, we'll be your servants and save us. No, if you're the leaders of Klal Yisrael and you realize that there's hashgacha that's unique to Klal Yisrael. You have to recognize that. You can't undermine that. And that's what Yaakov was saying to Rachel as well, that you can't undermine the concept of hashgacha, and that's what you're doing by asking me to provide a child for you. But ultimately, like I said, Yosef was able to explain to the brothers, like, Daber Libam, in a way where they understood why they couldn't have this relationship anymore, because no matter what, the psychological aspect of Yosef being Melech would be harmful to their development. So I think that he's expressing that by saying, A, I can't kill you because I'm the king, it would look bad for me. I'm the Melech because of my role. And also the idea that Asar Neros will Yachlu Chabos Nerecha, that they're a unit, and that they're not really individual Neros, they're a unit of Neros, and they should view themselves as such. They shouldn't view themselves as on a, just on a personal level. So I think that's the idea of the relationship shift at the end of the parsha in Vayechi. Okay, so, yes, go ahead.
Do you think, in other words, Yosef had